welcome everyone for coming. I know it wasn't the easiest day to come. And, this is our third share. So the title tonight is Instilling Yiddishkeit in Our Children. So just to review a little bit what we discussed until now. We discussed as far as the preparing of bayis for chinuch, establishing an authority within the house, a well-balanced system of discipline within the house. But this is all really just the outside structure to prepare a bayis and mokum that you'll be able to mechanech children. I felt a little guilty, to tell the truth, spending the last two shurim more emphasizing kind of the negative, you know, how to discipline, how to do this, you know, when things go wrong, and authority, and so on and so forth. But the ikar chinuch is the positive. The ikar chinuch is teaching our children. You cannot teach unless you have some type of system established of authority, of discipline, and so on and so forth. But the ikar, our ikar concentration, is supposed to be on teaching our children the positive things, instilling Yiddishkeit in our children. That's really what we're here. That's what we're here for. Every single one of us are teachers. And every single one of us are a bridge in the Masorah, connecting thousands of years of Yidden to the next Torahs. And it's not just for men, it's for women. Our teachers, Torah Simechem, and every single one of us, both the mother and the father, have a place in continuing this... the Am Segula, Klal Yisrael. And the only way that can be accomplished is by teaching the mitzvahs and the whole Hashkafas Achayim and to our children. So we're all teachers. There's one basic problem is that we're all maybe supposed to be teachers, but with all honesty, we're not all teachers. You know, most of us won't ever make it in a classroom setting. You know, it's there are parents that are just born teachers, and that's very special, and we need them. But every single parent is not a born teacher, and the average is not. And you have to know how to be a teacher, and how are we expected to do that. So the truth is that teaching children is much different than a teacher in a classroom setting. The gist of our teaching, of our continuing the Masorah, is in being a role model. Role modeling is really the main method of teaching. And we're all able to be good role models. You know, we might not all be able to teach on a day-to-day basis, but to be good role models, that we definitely are able to do. Our children are constantly looking at us. We're always being observed by our children, every single action that we do. That how we react when something happens, something spilled on the floor, something broke, whatever might have happened. They're seeing how we react, how we dress, how we talk, who we choose to be our friends, who we talk to, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our parents, how we daven, how we say brachas. Every single part, every single thing that we do, they're looking at us. And they're seeing exactly what we do. And some people say, well, you know, this... I can hide this from my children. You can never hide things from your children. Children know if they could even feel it through the walls, if there's an issue or something of that nature. There's a story about a couple that they would have these times of argument with each other, and they would be careful to do it in a closed room in the bedroom and make sure that wasn't exposed to the children. Until one day, there's a knock at the door in the middle of this friction in the bedroom, knock on the door of one of the children, who say, Mommy and Abba, whatever she calls it, you know, maybe you could use this. And she gave them a book on Shalom Bayis. And you cannot hide things from our children. Now, once you get the impression that children are spies, it's not like they're there planning to, look at everything we do and looking around the corners and seeing everything we do. It's not like that. The truth is, what children see is more what is in the air. They kind of see things through osmosis. It's in the atmosphere. A child could be running around the table and everything, and it doesn't look like he's even looking at you. But what you did, he knew about. Exactly the science behind it, I can't really explain. But it's not like they're always looking at it. It's like in a subconscious. They just know, day to day, they know exactly what we do. It's very interesting. When someone told me they were observing, there's a group of children, and they were all playing with a little table, making like a Shabbos table. So yeah, this group of children from this family made their Shabbos table, and this group, yeah, like three different groups of children who were playing in one room, making like their own little Shabbos table, and the girl would light the candles, and the boy would say Kiddush and Emotzi, and every single person did it differently. Every single person, every single child, you can see one child how their mother lit candles. One did it much longer. One had a long davening afterwards, and a short davening. One went like this, one went like that. I mean, it's unbelievable how these little children, it's not like they're staring at the mother. I mean, not every child stares at the mother and light candles. Some talk it do, but not everyone does. But just from Shabbos to Shabbos, day to day, they copy their parents. Their parents is really a real role model. My wife told me that when our son, I forgot which one of them, but I guess maybe all of them, whenever they were playing, and even the way they held the Kiddush cup was exactly the way I did it. You know, not that I always think about, if you ask me how I hold the Kiddush cup, I would need a Kiddush cup to put my hand to know how I hold it. I don't even remember exactly how, but they did exactly how I, and then all of the nuances of how to pour the wine and which way I do it, and it's not like they're all staring at me, you know. Some of them are running around the table at the time of Kiddush, you know, but it's a, they realize exactly what we do. So it's important for us to be a good role model. However, Herzl writes in his Sefer and Chinuch that every single parent has an obligation to be a demus diokno for their children. Yosef HaTzadik, when he had that great nisayon with Ashes Potiphar, and he was about to fall into a terrible nisayon, but Yaakov Avinu came to him. He had that picture of Yaakov Avinu, and that stopped him. That reminded him who he was, how special he is, and said, "I can't do this. I can't do it." Says Hirsch, every single parent has an obligation to be such a role model that if later on in life our children have any son, they should never have a son. We don't have any son. But in the case there's ever any son, and they have to decide, they look back and they say, I can't do this. I can't do it. I see my father. What would my father say about this? I can't do it. Remember my grandmother, Lava Shalom, she'd always tell us, and growing up in America, she came over from Europe at age 9, and she ended up some little hick town in America. Didn't end up in New York, but ended up in some hick town. And her friends were not firm, or went off to Derech, whatever, which was, standard in those days. And she always tells us that, like, on Shabbos was the hardest day for her, because all her friends were, out at the ice cream store and ice cream parlor and having fun. And she was there, Shomer Shabbos, and just reading books all day. That's it's such a, and she kept on thinking about what her friends are doing, and it was a very big nisayon, that probably most children in those days fell into the trap. And what stopped her, she would tell us, was the demus diokno of her zaydi. She remembered her zaydi. She left at 9 years old. She remembered her zaydi in Europe, and that just she said, I can't do it. So every child, every parent, says reverse, has an obligation to be a role model to use Yokno for their children. Now, after hearing all this, we can start to get extremely nervous, mamish, being spied on every second, and in case we make a mistake and everything, we got upset when we shouldn't have reacted in a way we shouldn't have, that's it, It's marked. They're marked for life. Our children. I mean, it's obviously the ultimate would be if we were perfect. But the world we live in, we're not. But it's nothing to be concerned about. I mean, children, the Iker role modeling that children learn from, is from the consistency of the parents. a parent slips here and there, okay, you know, fine, the children will get over it. They're more pliable than we are. And children are more, you know, it's not gonna ruin a child. But the way we act in a day-to-day way, and then our average, so to say, the way we act, that is what's going to make the impression in them. And that has to be something which is a role model for true Yiddish home. So that is the Iker way we're teaching our children. That being a Yid, that, you know, being a Yid, whatever that means, and Yiddish Hashem will give examples as we go on. Now, it doesn't take away that it also is real teaching. You know, there is real teaching that has to be done. But not in the form of a schmooze or a drasha or classroom-type teaching. It's more laid back. It's more subtle. It's by telling stories, saying certain remarks here and there that tend to mold the way a child thinks. And that's why stories are so important, to go and read with children. And not that the story doesn't have to be a mussar story or anything, but just it's a basis to talk about. You know, what did you think about that? What did you think about this? And just, you know, they feel closest with the parents. A head of an English department recently told me, we were discussing how come children are not able to comprehend, and reading comprehension has gone down in all the schools and in the world and in America, and has affected the Yiddish schools too. So all different ideas were being given at this little meeting, and you know, children are on the computer too much, and they don't do that much real reading anymore, which is a fact. But another fact, one head of an English department said, is that there isn't enough reading with, you know, they don't read, just read books before you go to sleep. They said that just makes their minds think and everything, and makes them understand life so much better. And it's not that you're not reading any technical deep books here, you know, it's just regular, simple children's books. But we don't realize that makes such an impression in a child, and the way they think and the ability to think. And certainly telling stories about good midas and proper Jewish values, that's really what makes an impression in children. At the Shabbos table is a time to go and teach children. To go and give schmoozes to children, you know, a child lies, and so now you get, you know, you take out all the you got to make a whole drasha, get all the marmakamas and the otzir hagadotis, you know, nyonei sheker. And then, you know, you can say, you know, Sheker causes this, and, you know, Engler Regula, you know, whatever, the, you know, Engler Gleim. I mean, you know, you go through all the different, that's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not effective. And if anything, it has an opposite effect. That the child associates this whole drusha and everything with that mida. You know, telling the truth is got to hear a shmooze. You know, got to hear a shmooze. That's what emes means. You know, doing chesed and being nice and not sticking your tongue out, you know, that's a whole schmooze. And children, they turn off the schmooze. You know, you think they're listening to you, they're turning off. And therefore, it's not the time. There might be certain exceptions to the rule, not too many exceptions, but the you know, as they get older, perhaps. But again, there really aren't too many exceptions. The Iker teaching is when they're in a good mood, when they're not under pressure, they didn't just do something wrong. And then at the Shabbos table, you say a story that happens to mention that particular mida and whatever, and you know, and you change the facts a little bit, and no one would know who is referring to. But that's really the best way to do it. That's the way they learn. I know personally a lot of things that still stick to my mind were like just little things that my father, you know, that he just kind of mentioned their my father would at the Shabbos table many times would just tell us stories about his European rebbeim that he had. So he would always tell a story. It sounds better in Yiddish, but I'll say it in English. But you know, he said that one of his European rebbeim came in one day and said, "I was getting off a bus and everybody's is running towards me, and I thought, you know what, because they're running to see, you know, a European rub and everything, they're coming to see, you know, they're coming to machabi me, and then I see they run past me, they're all going to, there was a baseball player back in there, and everything. You know, just a very subtle little story. It was cute, it was funny, but it laid down a yisod in life that, you know, Tom Chacham is more chashan than a baseball player, you know, it's, and you run after Tom Chacham, not a baseball player. My father was never into, you know, long shabuzes or anything, and nashkafas, and he wasn't that type. Never really spoke about this. And this. But that story, just maybe at the time I didn't realize that. I don't think I did. It was just a cute, funny story, you know. And but it laid down in your story, and you saw that, you know, what's the ikkar in life? You know, it wasn't putting things down too hard or anything. It just, you know, just laid down certain facts. You know, English music. You know, growing up out of town, all my friends are listening to, you know, English, the music and everything. You know, so my father just make a comment here and there. You know, says, you know, you can't even understand what they're saying. You know, it's all some English going singing. You can't understand what they're saying. You know, like, that's all you would say. You know, like, and that just laid down the yourself that, you know, that, you know, this is not something so positive. You know, didn't take a whole schmooze or something like that. You know. A shmooze, I don't think, would have worked. You know, it just derech hakav, and I kind of as if he was talking to himself. You know, I don't even understand what they're saying. You know, that's something of that nature. And you know, you have to know how to say it to each child, and each generation, and each issue. But that's really it's the role modeling is the yikr, and the little hashkafas through stories, through little comments here and there, that really molds the child. So we're teachers. And as a teacher, we have to have an objective. And if a teacher comes into the new school year, and you have the whole year in front of you, and say, what do I want to accomplish this year? And what do I want to teach? And as parents who are teachers, we have to look at the child's life. You know, what do I want to teach them? The years of teaching pass by very fast. Next thing you know, you're walking a child down the chuppah. What do I want to teach them? The truth is, next thing you know, they're already out of the house, whether it's a yeshiva, seminar, or something. I mean, there isn't that many years of teaching, and believe me. I mean, I'm living in that stage right now, and finally you start to get scared to send a child away to school. I haven't finished teaching it yet, you know. So you have to take advantage. The years go by very, very, very fast. So we have these years of teaching, and you want to know, what can I teach my child? What's my objective as a teacher? What's on the plan? You know, so a certain amount of math and history a teacher thinks about, whatever she's supposed to teach. So what do you want to teach to instill Yiddishkeit in a child's life? And a good teacher sets her goals high, being practical about it, not being too high, but knowing that I have a good class and I can really accomplish a lot with them. I have the potential, the utensils, the kalim that are necessary to do this. And I'm really going to teach a real lot this year. So as parents, we have to look at it in the same way, that we have to set our goals high. You have to be practical, but sometimes we try to be too practical. You have to really be idealistic in the chinuch of our children. Well, what are our goals? What are our goals supposed to be? You know, what are we supposed to accomplish? Every day we wake up in the morning and we get ready to say Birchas HaTorah. And right there in Birchas HaTorah it says, we daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that the Torah should be sweet. That's what we're davening for. That's what we want our children to be, and not just boys, but girls too. You know, that not that they're going to be Tamidei Chachamim, obviously. But that their understanding and relationship to Kodesh Baruch Hu should be at such ava and dikta kamitzvahs, and a woman says a special tefillah by halakas neir Shabbos, which is akeni legado banim of nevanim chachanim and nevanim ove Hashem yir Elokim anshiyam ezera kodesh miyum esolam b'tor ma'isin tov. It became a beautiful song recently, but this is what we're downing for. We have the tefillah of the Shla that said on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and it says V'yu Balei Torah, Mori Mikra, Mori Mishnah, Mori Talmud, Mori Raza. We're talking about that we want our children to be Talmidei Chachamim, Bikiyim, in Nigla and Nister, and Mishnayis, Gemara, everything. Mori Mitzvah, Mori Gomei Chasanim. They should be mushlim in everything. Be'on the makom, be'on the chaveiro, midos trumiyos, yevduchah ba'avah v'yerapanimis. And this is real davening. You know, this is not the exaggerations. We're not saying a guzma here. We're saying a kashbo, we want our children to be the best. We want our children to mamish be great tamini chachamim if they're boys, and neshei tamini chachamim if they're girls, and that's what we're davening for. And everything that goes into that. When the Rebbe's sitting shiva for his mother, so he was in Eretz Yisrael, so I called him up from Menachem Mohel. So he told me about his mother, how when he was in yeshiva, she would go out of her way and take a few buses and even travel a long way just to go to his dorm room to make sure that it was good for him and comfortable and everything. And I think he didn't even know about it at the time, but she was there making sure that it was set up all right and everything. And so then he told me, he says, take a look at the Igeres HaTshuva, the Rabbeinu Yonah, and see what it says there. And he read it off of me, or told me by heart part of the Lashon. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says that a woman should always be davening. It doesn't necessarily mean Shemoneh Esrei, but Tehillim, Tchina, is her own personal tefillas. It says, and what should she daven on? Al b'nei v'naseh, her sons and daughters, who yeri shemayim, b'nei masichim b'torah, ki ikr zuchusu shal isha, l'olam haba, is shebanei ha'obdim l'Hashem Yisbaruch Hu, osim etzonu v'yirei maso. And k'shiva beis olam, when a mother goes on to the next world, it's as if the woman's still alive. We also call her mitzvahs. So that's what we daven for. We daven for the top. And we have to teach. We have to teach our students to be for the top. And that's what it is. This is the Masorah Klai, so this is not, this is, our Masorah is that mothers and fathers daven and cry that their children should be the best, and that's what we're out to teach them. Chassam Sofer was once asked, why was he zoche to have a son, the Chassam Sofer? Most gedolim are not zoche that their son is the next Godel Hador. Their sons are chashuv, but to have a son who's the next Godel Hador is very, very rare. But the Chassam Sofer and his son, and truth is, and his grandchildren, and now the whole mishpacha, it was just something that stood out, even in families of gedolim. And emesis is brought down that he was extremely busy taking care of Klai Yisrael, and he really didn't have a lot of open time to teach his son as we would think, as he would want to. It really his wife, the mother, that really put it all into him to a good extent. So the Chassam Sofer said, not one day went without me crying. And they asked the Brisker Rav the same thing. The Brisker Rav's peers were not zochah to such great chinuch in their children. It was the height of Haskalah in Europe at the time. Right around that time, and children of great Tamni Chachamim were not ending up the way they would wanted them to be. Nebuch, it's no one to really blame. But the Brisker Rav Zocher, that as we know, that his children mamish, it's a continued incredible legacy, and are continuing, and to make such an impression in Klai Yisrael. And again, he said that I used to go to the crib and just cry. And daven that they should be great. So this is what Klai Yisrael is all about. It's not just davening and crying, obviously. It's being mishtadel that they should really be great tamini chachamim and the sheichayil and snuos and full of yerushamayim and so on and so forth. That's really what we're training them to be. So we have to have high goals. As teachers, we have to really have high goals, and shar she'ifas should be something very high. Now, obviously, we all know that statistically speaking, You know, most children don't end up being Rosh Yeshivas and Magidi Shirim and so on and so forth. But number one, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't daven and try for that. And number two, that even though that perhaps that might not be their official profession as Rosh Yeshiva or, you know, or a Rebbe, whatever the case might be, but to be a Talmid Chacham, you know, the way it was in Europe, when Europe was in its height, your average Bala Bus was holding in Shas and Poskim. They talk about the time of the Shach, the average Bala Bus was learning hours a day and staying up nights and learning, and you know, that was a Bala Bus. That was a Bala Bus. And it wasn't just, you know, learning Daf Yomi or something that nature. Chasho, not to put that down, but you know, sometimes our goals of Yiddishkeit are very minute. You don't realize what's out there. And to have a son who's a Talmid Chacham, whether that's his profession or not, but that's our goal. We want him to be a Talmid Chacham. We want him to be the best he can. We all know that there are children that are just not made out to be out of Talmid Chacham either. You know, that Keshbo, who had his Cheshbonos, and it's a wonderful child who, on his own right, brings an incredible nachas to his parents, and Chanokhan Arpi Darko, and he has a certain purpose in life and what he accomplishes and so on and so forth. But that shouldn't interfere our teaching, our goals. Our goals are we're going to teach these children to be the best, to be Talmid Chachamim. And I think that's something which to a certain extent is missing, that we tend to put, you know, I want to keep our children frum. You know, I want to just make sure my children are frum and have good midas. You know, it's not enough. You know, it's, I saw a terrible bumper sticker, and it had in Yiddish and English. Been a pasha de Yid. That's what the bumper sticker said. You know, I'm a pasha de Yid. That's what it said. You know, if a Rosh Hashiva, the great Gadol, says that, that's okay. It's a sign of anivus. But for us to say that I'm a pasha de Yid, I want my children to be a pasha de Yid, that's degrading. That means I just want them to live a normal life. You know, I just want them, and that's not our hashkafa. Our Ashkaf and the Tefillahs and the whole Masor of Klal Yisrael is we daven from day one, from before day one, that our children would be great Talmid Chachamim, with great Midas, Beinam Lachaveo, and so on and so forth. And that's why we're still here, because our Babas and, daven for those type of things. And that's something that we have to keep in mind, that as teachers, we have to keep very high goals. It has to be practical, but very, very, very high goals. I'm going to bring up another point. This might be a little bit of a delicate topic. You know, sometimes, you know, we're all growing people. We've all grown, we've become more yeshivish in our lives and everything, and it wasn't always easy, and you know, we all owe a pat on our backs to, you know, what we've accomplished living in the world that we live in, growing up here in America. It's the Mesiras Nefesh that our parents did that to make it where we are today. I mean, it's something very, very special. And there are times, and this is normal, you know, in that, you know, there are certain, you know, humps in our growth that we have yet to overcome yet. You know, it's we're working on it step by step. You know, sometimes it's in Yonet Sneas. You know, there's a woman is, you know, very stark and everything, but, you know, certain things that, you know, she's not ready for that yet. Still a certain hump that we have to overcome, and, you know, step by step we'll do it. Sometimes by men, you know, although, you know, they have stark storm and everything else, but they still have that type of, you know, professional sports a little bit here and there. And you know, there's still certain things that haven't been polished 100% yet. And, you know, we all have to know who we are and where we're holding, and that's a sugya in itself. Okay? But that doesn't mean that because of that, our children have to share that. That doesn't mean that because when we're in a public place in an airport, you know, in a certain baseball game and a Super Bowl is on, and, you know, we're glued to it, you know, that our children should join that too. You know, we have that issue where we're growing, we've come a long way, and Baruch Hashem, our children don't have to do, didn't start off, we start off, and so on and so on, you know, that. But don't let your own personal issues, don't share them with your children. Meaning, you know, that doesn't mean, sometimes there's men that, they dress in a very casual way. You know, that's just, you know, they're not ready to be so formal yet. They're not holding by that yet. Fine. They're stark in many things, and it's very special, and and I have all respect, you know, and so on and so forth. But if the children see that, and the children might not be so stark in certain things that the mother or father is stark in, you know, that does not, that's not good chinuch. That's not being a good role model. That's why, although we have to be ourselves and we have to grow little by little, but keep in mind that if you're looking out for the best for our children, we really have to sometimes, as an incentive, use that to perhaps grow in certain ways. You know, for the sake of our children, I'm going to stop doing this. You know, there's people that they might, they might smoke and everything, but when the children start to get old, they say, you know, I better quit smoking. You know, right now I can hide it. My wife knows about it, obviously, but, you know, once the children are going to smell my breath, I got to stop smoking. You know, so that's an incentive that, you know, I got to stop. So there's certain things like this which intrinsically, you know, it's something which, you know, we're able to handle and still grow with little by little, but for the children, it's not going to have a good effect. Everyone has to know exactly where they're holding and what they could do, but I'm being very general being very general as much as possible. But this is an important thing to keep in mind. So now, again, we're teachers. We have our plans. You know, we have these nice, good plans that this year is going to be a very special year, these years of chinuch. So what's the lesson plan? You know, what are we supposed to teach? Okay, now we got already, we got the classes here. Students are here. We have Kodesh Baruch has given us all the kelim to be able to teach. You know, what are we supposed to teach? So there's many things to teach. I mean, we could be here for many, many more shiurim about what to teach. So tonight I'm just going to discuss a few ideas of perhaps a few basic yesodas that we have to teach our children. I think we should start off with emunah bitachon. Emunah bitachon in Kodesh Baruch Hu. There's a trend, I think, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, to start teaching in certain schools, you know, about emunah bitachon. You know, you teach the Yud Gimel Ikrim and have classes about the Yud Gimel Ikrim and Yigdal and the Rambam and whatever, the Sefer Ikrim, and, you know, go through emunah bitachon in an intellectual way, and, you know, and that's, you know, emunah 101. But it doesn't work that way. Emunah cannot be taught as a class. Emunah cannot be taught as a lesson. Emunah is taught to children as when they see how their parents approach and react to different things that happen, to life's events, and if they react with, you know, Zaynu Kapara or Baruch Hashem or Baruch Hu will take care of us, Hashem Yazor. If that's how they see their parents react to things when they happen, then that teaches them Emunah. Emunah can only be taught in an atmosphere of Emunah, that the child grows up just realizing that Hashem is with them all the time. And the parents have to build up this idea that Hashem is around in every aspect of their life. A lot of times there's this illness of parnasa, there's issues of medical issues, and if a child only sees the parents put the emphasis in his hishtaglus, I've been, you know, spending all day trying to find a job, and, you know, and doing speaking to doctors and everything, and if that's all they see and all they hear about it, and they don't hear about, you know, we got to keep on davening, Hashem should help the doctors be matzliach, Hashem should, you know, Kodesh Baruch Hu help us, you know, be mefarish to mishpacha. They have to hear Hashem. They have to hear about Hashem. And that's the only way they could learn about Emunah Bitachon, is just to hear about Kodesh Baruch Hu, hear about that Hashem is with the parents, Hashem is with the family. And that's how they're going to grow up to be Bali Bitachon. The Chassid Yavitz, the Gedolim in the time of the late 1400s, I mean, he was there in 1492 by the Spanish Inquisition, and he writes in his parish in Pirkei Avos that he's being made that those that were matzliach in not giving in to the Inquisition and either giving up their lives or leaving or whatever the case was, says was not the intellectual and philosophical yidden. It was this simple women and children, he said, that just had that emunah pshuta in them. They were the ones that were willing to tell the goyim, no, we're leaving, we're not giving in. the ones that were dealing, I'm not talking about the Timil Chamin, but the Yidden that were very intellectual about Emuna and everything and philosophy, which was in Spain in those days, was the very beginning. The Sefer Yerkin wrote a Sefer Mamash during that time to try to show people the proper philosophy and everything against what was being talked about at the time. He said they were Masliyot. Those people gave it. You know, you teach them, you know, you deal with the Emuna like Emuna 101 is not going to work. It has to be this, you breathe and you live Emuna. But Emuna also cannot be taught, you know, how to, that Hashem helps us when things go wrong, you know. If things go wrong, Hashem will make it be all right, you know. That's a good part of Emuna. But the Lechatchil way of teaching Emuna is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a native, Kadosh Baruch Hu does good. The Baruch Hashem, here's a good tape today, you know, and Kadosh Baruch Hu helped us, you know, look at this apple, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem made this apple. They have to hear about Hashem. They say, Hashem does good for us. Hashem helped us be able to have clothes, and Hashem helped us to be able to have this special house and everything. Whatever. Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be known as a mative in the eyes of children. Kadosh Baruch Hu does good. Kadosh Baruch Hu is helping us out all the time. And also, when things never go bad, then you know, obviously, you know, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us make it turn out good and everything. But the Iker teaching is that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a mated. Kadosh Baruch Hu does good. And Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing good. And his Nisim flows, he's doing for us every single day. Now again, this doesn't have to come in shmooze. We're not talking about a whole shmooze about Emunah here. And if you say Hashem, Hashem, Hashem all the time, and it becomes too artificial, and you know, that's not part of our Masorah either, that, you know, you say every fifth word is Hashem. It's, you know, it's already overdoing it to the other extreme. But it has to be a household word. Already, when children are very young, that they have to hear about Hashem. And you can, and sometimes, you know, a couple could be very stark and, you know, Bali Amuna, but they don't talk about it. It doesn't, you know, they don't talk about it. It has to be talked about. And you know, you put a child to sleep and say, you know, Hashem will watch you through the night and everything. You can't just say Shema and everything. You know, tell them Hashem's going to watch you. Hashem's going to watch you. And children, sometimes they say very cute things about Hashem in their own simple understanding. But they have to, at a young age, hear about Hashem. And it has to be like the Yaakov Avinu, that the Yitzhak knew that the Yaakov was not Esav because, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu was Alpiv, as the Chazal tell us. You know, the Shem Hashem was there. There's no greater present that parents could give their children is how to handle life. Life, as we know, has its ups and downs. And if a child from a young age knows that Hashem Yazor, you know, and Hashem has a reason, Hashem will help us, and it's just entrenched in him, it's in the air in the house. Eventually when they get older, and it should never be, but when there's, you know, when there's things that happen in life, they'll be able to handle it in a much better way. And it's a fact, and you can see that on how different people handle different issues when it comes up. Now let's turn a little bit to Beinonu Lechaveru. We have to teach our children also Avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael and Avas Abiyus in large, but with the obvious emphasis on Avas Yisrael. Children have to realize that we are special, that we're Yidden, we're special. The Kuzri writes that the same difference between an animal to a goy is the same difference between a goy to a Yid. You know, and sometimes we're afraid to make these statements. You know, it's improper. You know, but the hashkafa has to be known that yes, that you speak the Abdullah ben Yisrael. I mean, we are special. We are the Am Segula, and that's the reason why we're still here. And that's the reason why we stand out, because we are special. And this has to be done in a very careful way. Again, you don't teach by putting things down. So you want to teach how special Yidden are. Don't spend most of your time putting down goyim. You know, goyim are this and goyim are that, and they're putzim and they're gazladim and they're this, and they stole your bike, and that's not the way to show how Yidden are special. Yidim are special because, you know, we have special meanings. The way we dress, we just talk different, we live a different life. We have the Torah, we have the mitzvahs to do. You know, we have such an ability to be so much happier and everything, and our lives are so much filled with you know, much more special things. And v'chule, v'chule. That's why we're special. And Kodesh Baruch Hu loves us, and so on and so forth. That's very special. Once in a while, you know, you might have to point out a certain thing about going, but that's not the emphasis. I think sometimes, you know, everything is derogatory. You've got to put down goyim all the time, and it's not a healthy thing. And you hear it in carpool, you know, how children making fun of goyim, and you know, like it's not, sometimes you can't stop it to some certain extent, but it's not the way Chinuch would happen. It's that we are special. So that's what we have to be very careful not to put down yidden. I'm not discussing Lashon Hara, putting down individuals, putting down Jews. You know, there are some, you know, what can we say? You know, we have our issues. There's certain medias that perhaps, in a general way, that, you know, we wish we didn't have or aren't expressed the same way. Those aren't things to talk about to children. You know, people shouldn't talk about it at all. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu is not Bob Atronio, doesn't come in a tough way with us, and we shouldn't say bad things about Klal Yisrael. And sometimes you want to be a little sarcastic and say, you know, that's a real Jewish way of doing it. You know, it's a terrible thing to say. B'chlal, but for children to hear that, you know, this type of, you know, mahalach chayim, you know, that's a bad mahalach, we're calling it Jewish. You know, that's putting down. You're putting down ourselves. You know, you're putting down yourself when you say that. And children have to hear that we're special, we're something special. You know, and Abbas Yisrael, that, you know, every single yid is special. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Sefer Yirah, he says, Al-tikul l'shum adam Yisrael b'shum dover nivel. Never say a derogatory thing. Don't call any yid with a derogatory name. If you look up, and even a child, he says, Asur likoso mos deriskok. You say, oh, you disgusting thing, you know, like the child's all muddy and dirty, and, you know, his play doll, his hair and gum, whatever. You say, oh, you really look disgusting. You know, don't even say those words on a yid, you know, on a child. Kikulam nikim ukadoshim. You know, a yid is special. A yid is special. You don't do any derogatory words, even in a joking way, says Rabbeinu Yonah about a yid. And so that's very important, that obviously Yisrael has to be expressed. And obviously that means being a good role model. Loving Yidden. If we love Yidden, we greet people, we respect other Yidden, we speak in a positive way about them and everything, about others, and always say, oh, you know, that person, he's special about this, and this person, he's always, you know, every time I, sometimes I'm in a place with one of my children and they see someone who's a little different, you know. And someone that I'd say I happen to know. So I try to, later on, so we get in the car, I know my child probably felt a little uncomfortable there. Either the person was different because of a medical issue or just, you know, his personality was a little different. And I say, oh, and that person has Iluya Shekhar. You know, it's a, you know, sometimes, you know, you have Iluya that are just a little different, you know, that they're, you know. But so I don't emphasize that he's a little awkward, right? You know, I say, you know, he has a Ilyusha cup, or, you know, that when a Mashulach comes to the door, you know, again, it's not easy always to handle all the Mashulachim that are coming and everything. These are smoother than itself. But as whatever feelings you might have, whatever, you know, shitas and ashkafis you might have, and how to deal with the situation today, because, you know, Nebuch that we're in, that so many people need us. But you have to show them respect. You know, bring a drink of water. You tell the children, you know, bring a drink of water. Talk to them. You mean, don't have time or not, you know. But, you know, even, whatever you do, the children are looking at you. You know, it's middle of supper, and they come. If you say, oh, you're right in the middle, ready to, you know, have dessert, the door keeps on knocking. You know, even though that, yes, we do feel that in our mind. I can't, you know, we're normal. You know, we're human beings. But we have to be careful that our children, you know, are getting up. Another yid to be mechaber. Another yid you could help. And that's obviously so. One time there was a group of mishulachim came to the house, sat down, and told me all, you know, all different shulachim and everything. So after they left, I told my children, I said, you know, these, you know, those two that were on the couch, you know, they fought in the Yom Kippur War. They, you know, they were both parachuters in the Yom Kippur War. You know, they both now, either they became Bala Juva, or they are always from whatever it was. You know, now they're learning in color, or whatever Tzrachim they needed. I don't know what it was. you know, by just something that, you know, they shouldn't think that these people just came in, you know. Another person came to the house, his father's wrote some very chashuv svarim. I told my son, you know, that, you know, that's the son of the sefer, you know. This is, you know, he wrote that, the sefer, you know. He was collecting for a kol or whatever. I said, you know, see, the sefer's on my desk, you know, that's that person's son. Always try to bring out the good about different people, and sometimes you got to be a little creative, you know. But it's a certain avid soul that we have to teach to our children. The question, the difficult question, is how to deal with Yidden that the Nebuch are not from. I mean, it's relatives is obviously a serious issue that has to be discussed, and I'm not going to be get into that now. Perhaps that you know then. But just honestly, how do you look at non-from Yidden? We all know that Yid is supposed to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, and until 200 years ago, an average Yid did. The once in a blue moon, you know, after a certain Yid, and the Nebuch, you know, went off to Derech, you know, and we don't even realize. Chazal told us if you find a star and in the contract, the date on the contract says Shabbos, you know that it wasn't written on Shabbos. You know, it was either written on Erev Shabbos or Matzei Shabbos. It was not written on Shabbos. No Yid to Machal Shabbos. And so we have to be careful. So it's a whole new thing that in the last 200, 150, and certainly we're holding now, you know, that most Yidim are not from. And so how do you deal with that? So it's... So the attitude has to be that if you've done it in the proper words, that, you know, you feel sorry for them. You know, you feel sorry that you see Yidden, you know, driving a car and not dressed in a siyistik way. You say, you know, they weren't zochah to have the same tinuk you had. They weren't able to go to Beis Yaakov. That's why we used to have a non-from girl, a neighbor, come to us. You know, so she came and she tried to dress in a siyistik fashion, you know, but still obviously wasn't... you know, wasn't really in seistic. She had sometimes come with pants or whatever it was, and you know, and my children weren't really asked too many questions. But whenever a question was asked or something by some of the younger ones who, you know, still didn't know what was happening here, say, you know, they you know, her mother didn't teach her. You know, it's like a nebuch. You feel bad for them. You know, not that you should blame any, you know, their mother or something, but just, you know, you feel bad for them. You know, but. You know, Baruch Hashem, you have, you know, the chinuch, you're able to learn it. That's really the attitude. How you say it, how you express it, I mean, you have to know how to do that. You know, but the attitude is that, not that you're looking down, oh, you know, they don't keep Shabbos. You know, look at that next door neighbor driving a car on Shabbos. Chas v'sholem, that's not the way. Nebuch, they don't know about Shabbos. You know, you have all these books about Shabbos and the Lama Tes Melachas with pictures and this and that. You know, they don't have those books. They didn't grow up knowing those things. Yeah, that's the attitude that, and our speech has to come out in that fashion. Well, last but not least is goyim. There's supposed to be a general avos habrios. You know, everyone in the world is supposed to get along with each other. I mean, that's really the ultimate. I mean, it's a shame everyone will know about our Kodesh Baruch Hu, but in the meantime, you know, we're supposed to get along with everyone. You know, we all know that Halacha Moshe Messina, Esav, son of the Yaakov, and we all know that deep down, Goyim are not really our friends. On the outside, they might look very friendly, and so on and so forth, but we know that they're not. But the Maisa, we have to deal with them in a friendly manner. And certainly here in America, where, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, the Goyim are nice to us. You know, we can't even imagine how nice they are to us. There has to be a proper decorum in our relationship with Goyim. And when I lived in my apartment for 12 years, I basically was surrounded by goyim. And first came back from Eretz Yisroel, my children never saw a goyim in their life. And so I remember we came off the plane, we moved this apartment, and like it was like so shocking to them, when, you know, a goyim, you know, like, you know, who is that? You know, it's just a whole new musik. So we had, you know, it was a whole mahalach that we had, you know, to teach them about goyim. And the truth is, it was the same thing, you know. It was the idea that you don't think that goyim are bad or anything. You know, goyim are not the yam segula. You know, but Kushbo who made them, you know, there's something that they're able to help us for and do for the world. You know, but not to put them down that they're this, they're that, and everything else. I didn't just have like a good morning, hello relationship with many of my neighbors. You know, we had a little schmooze here and there. There was a my children saw it, and you know that that I was friendly with them. They were coming to tell me something. I would see them, and you know, ask them about their car, and you know, they're washing the car on Sundays and whatever. You know, whatever it was, you know, it wasn't just a hello goodbye. You know, not every single one, but there was a certain, you know, habit of going that I had an ongoing, you know, very careful relationship with, if you could put it in those words. There has to be an understood habdola ben Yisrael la'amim, and there has to be you have to always know how to keep a distance, even within a friendship. But there has to be a friendship, and children have to see this. And I think we're, you know, shouldn't be scared that, you know, that you know, our children are going to see us being friendly with goyim, and they're going to think, you know, the goyim are fine, and then go after goyim. And I don't think we have to. I think the havdalah is pretty clear. If it's a stark home, and they realize how special yidden are, they know that, you know, that you don't have a deep relationship with goyim. You know, we're friendly, and so on and so forth. And it's true that the same thing with non-from people. You know, it's for kiruv purposes. It's, you know, people involved in kiruv, and everyone, we all try to do our own little kiruv and be nice to non-from people. But it has to be very careful. It has to be kept at a distance. I don't want to get into details now. This is a whole shiur in itself. But you have to be very careful about that. And again, if it's a family member, then obviously this story is it's a whole different story. But the application that I'm referring to is like joining a little league with goyim, with non-from children, and that's not something that we should be doing. And that's not what our children to go and have a kviyistik of playing with the non-from or goyish children. You know, that's a breach in the havdalah ben Yisrael la'amim. I mean, growing up in Kansas City, you know, we had our own little baseball team and everything. It was just the from people. We all got together, and the from boys. And I remember one day, one of the from boys had a goy in his box, so the goy came followed him to our game. We played on the shul's land there, and the whole time we were so uncomfortable. We were so uncomfortable. Even my friends, you know, didn't necessarily come from such stark homes and everything. We're so stark ashkavas, but this, it was just ingrained in them that, you know, there's a goy playing here. You know, this is not what we should be doing. It was just so natural to everyone, and the goy never came back. We were nice to him and everything else, but you know, he never came back again. And so it's something which we have to be very careful about. Friendly and so on. So I went to a playground to play with my children to, you know, hit some balls to them. And there was I wasn't sure. And he was playing with his child, and he asked if he could play with us, and I could hit some balls to his child too. And he complimented my children when they caught him. I complimented his child when he caught a ball well and everything. And okay, that was a derech harai type thing. And it's interesting. The place was empty. The whole park was empty, except for, you know, us and him. And he commented to me on his own. He said, you know, everybody's with their child on the computer these days. You know, they're all on the computer. He said, but this is where we really should be. With out playing ball with your children. You know, that's what he said. You know, on his own, he just said that it's sad to see that the park's empty. You know, they're all on the computer. But Derek Kvias, I mean, that's we have to be very, very careful about that. So it's important as we walk down the street to greet people, to say hello, to goyim, wave to them, this and that. Just to be very, very friendly with everyone. And that itself is not a breach in Avodah Yisrael, but just be a Kiddush Hashem wherever you go. And the children see this. The children see, you know, that we how we greet people and everything. And that definitely is important role modeling teaching. Next topic I was going to speak about is about mitzvahs and the age of chinuch, the mitzvahs. Ben Yisrael Hashem, we'll discuss it another year.